This free MP3 is brought to you by HappyWife.com to help you create the marriage of your dreams.
Is conflict and fighting a good thing or a bad thing in a marriage? Which is it? Well, the truth is, it depends. It can be a very good thing or it could be a really, really bad thing. What does it depend on? Depends on how you feel after the conflict. For example, if you have a conflict and at the end you feel estranged from each other or hurt or in fear, then the conflict was bad. But at the end of the conflict, if you use the conflict to feel good, where you feel that you're closer together as a result of the conflict, well, then the conflict was a very, very good thing. Now, would it have been better to be able to get there without the conflict? I guess so, it would have. But you want to know something? We're all human, and we're all human in a relationship. And this relationship is a special relationship because it's a relationship that's based on passion. It's not just like any other relationship where you don't have as much of yourself invested in it. This is your marriage. This is your relationship where you are passionate about somebody and you have the fire for that person. The flip side of it, of course, is there's going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict. We've invested so much of ourselves and our trust and who we are in this relationship. When we feel betrayed, we feel so hurt. When we feel the person's not listening, we feel so hurt. And the truth is when we feel hurt, that is when the conflict begins. Most of us are not very good at dealing with conflict, based on how we dealt with it when we were children, with our families. I mean, who likes it? Who really likes dealing with conflict? It's an uncomfortable situation. I know I don't. But when you learn to become a connoisseur of conflict and know that right at the other end of this conflict lies an incredible opportunity to connect and become close, you don't run away from your conflict. You don't run away from the fact that it's uncomfortable. Now, why is it so difficult to decide whether or not to confront or to avoid an issue? Why is it so hard? I mean, shouldn't we just confront them all the time? Shouldn't we just tackle all our problems and all our issues? But it is difficult because we know this is sort of, we can see both sides. I mean, if we avoid the problem, so then that thing that we're feeling, you know, we may feel that we've been taken advantage of, that perhaps our feelings will fester and it'll become worse. Maybe we'll feel worse about ourselves that we didn't stick up for ourselves. Or maybe we rob the other person of the opportunity to improve things if we do not confront the issue. But what happens if we do confront the issue? You know what could happen? Things might get worse. We may get rejected or even attacked. They may come after us. We may hurt the other person in ways that we didn't even intend to. And the relationship might suffer even more. So we're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place. If we avoid the problem, all these issues come up. If we confront the issue, then all these other issues can come up. So you know what? We do nothing, which is avoiding it. So I guess we did make a decision. Or we confront, and then we have to, you know what? Best thing to do is we have to learn how to deal with our issues so that when we work through them, we feel connected to our spouse in a very, very deep way. Now, like with all these programs, these are not lectures. These are workshops. And workshops means that we're gonna use exercises to personalize the material in our own relationship and grow through the material rather than just listening to something that's interesting. I want you to grow in your own marriage. I mean, that's why you're listening, isn't it? To improve your marriage, to improve your relationship. So the very first workshop we're going to be doing is going to start now. So if you don't have your pen and your paper ready, please go get a pen and a piece of paper or a little workbook, and we're going to start with the very first exercise. Now, if we don't do them on paper, and you're just going to do it in your head, okay, I guess that's better than not doing it at all. But I want you to do it on paper because a lot of these exercises we end up sharing with our spouse afterwards. So if we're going to share it with our spouse afterwards, it's better if it's written down. So go ahead, I'll wait for you. Go get your pen, go get your paper, and I'll be here waiting for you. We're going to do the very first workshop exercise. Go on. Go on. This is your marriage. Don't you want to work through your conflicts? This is your relationship. Go get your pen. Go get your paper. I'll wait right here for you. Go ahead. Okay, you back? Great. So the first workshop exercise is actually very simple. What I want you to do is I want you to write down three of the main conflicts that you're having in your marriage. Three areas where you feel that these conflicts are coming up. What are they? For example, maybe money, in-laws, no time together, my spouse never listens to me, we don't have enough affection, not enough attention, whatever it may be. Write for yourself the three main areas of conflict in your marriage. Now, it'd be really great if the two of you could work on this together, and then you'll share your ideas with each other at the end. So go ahead, write down the three main areas of your conflict. Put it on pause, and when you're done, start the program again. Okay, you did it. You wrote down your three main areas of conflict. Excellent. Now, part two of this, I want you to define next to each one of these three areas whether it's perpetual or a solvable conflict. What do I mean by that? Is it something that comes up over and over and over and over again, and it doesn't look like it's something that you'll be able to solve because it's sort of a conflict of values, a conflict of ideas that are so deeply ingrained within you, where your dreams and your ideas went going one way and your spouse is going another way, so that you actually have a conflict of values, so that's a perpetual problem? Or is it a solvable problem? It's just something you got to work out. So first thing I want you to do is define whether it's perpetual or solvable conflict and put a big P next to it or a big S next to it. We're going to come back to it later. Okay, do that right now. Pause the program. Okay, you did it. Excellent. So now we have our first workshop complete. You have your three main areas of conflict in your marriage, and you have defined whether these are perpetual conflicts or solvable conflicts. Great. Now, these three areas, I want you to just take a look at them. So one of them is, let's say, money issues, or one of them, you don't treat me nicely when we're in public, or one of them may be, I want to have kids and you don't want to have any more kids, or whatever it may be. Just take a look at these three and see whether they're perpetual or they're solvable. Excellent. Okay, let's move on to the strategies of working through these three conflicts. Strategy number one. We have to understand that in conflicts between a husband and wife, most of the time that we have these conflicts, we have to understand that neither person is right. Most of the time, neither person is right. And really, conflicts in marriage especially, but really all relationships, it's really not about being right or wrong. It's really about understanding how the other person feels. That's really what it's about. If you want to be right, and you're going to argue until you get your point across that you're right, well, you want to know something? You may win the battle, but you're going to lose that war because now you've made the person feel doubly bad because you're not taking into account their point of view and the way they look at the conflict. I want you to understand this is the most important thing. We know that the communication in relationships, the language of relationship is feelings, not facts. That's the relationship. It's feelings, not facts. And if we can try to begin to understand how our spouse feels, rather than going through the facts, then we're on our way to solving the conflict. So the first thing we have to know is it's really about feelings and not facts. And if you're arguing facts, well, very nice. You may prove based on the way you see things that this is the way that it is. Well, you want to know something? Doesn't matter. Because what you really have to understand is that both people have a story. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a legitimate point of view. You do, and your spouse does. Because you think you're right and you think your spouse is out to lunch, let me tell you something. They think exactly the same thing. They think you're out to lunch. They think that they are right. Everybody has a story. Everybody interprets the events the way that they want to interpret it for good or for bad. They interpret it the way they want to interpret it. And that interpretation creates feeling. And that feeling creates conflict. So what do you want to do? You want to start telling them, the way I look at it is right? My perspective is the only perspective? Is that how you want to deal with your conflict? Imagine doing that. My perspective is the only perspective. Doesn't make any sense. You want to deal with your conflict in your relationship, understand that they have a legitimate point of view. They have a story. They have a story. Really, you got to understand is that both sides, you and your spouse are both using the information that's given to you to create a picture of the event that occurred. Two people looking at exactly the same thing will see entirely different events. Entirely different events. I remember one time I was flying through the Grand Canyon. I took a chartered flight from Las Vegas. We went up into the Grand Canyon. We flew down as low as we could through the canyon. And then we landed there. We spent a day at the canyon. Then we flew home. And I remember listening to a couple of the conversations in the airplane, and it was amazing. It was as if we were on completely different excursions. I remember what I was just overwhelmed by the beauty of the scenery. It was so beyond anything I've ever seen before. The breadth and the depth of the canyon took my breath away. It was almost two-dimensional because my brain couldn't conceive of something so magnificent. And when I was looking out these big windows in the small plane, I was overwhelmed by the scenery. Sitting in front of me was a gentleman who was a pilot. Maybe he'd done this trip many times before, maybe he hadn't. But all he saw and all he spoke about was the airplane and the way the airplane, the flaps were going and how it was becoming sturdy and the winds, because he saw the different winds, the way they were shuffling in and out of the canyon, and he saw these thermals rising, and he saw the pilot going into the thermal and adjusting the plane to keep it afloat. And his whole perspective of this experience was an aeronautical perspective, where he saw the plane and the winds and the aerodynamics. Unbelievable. And both of us got off the plane, and the person there who was working there on the ground said, "How did you enjoy it?" And I said, "I loved it. I found it to be fantastic." And this guy turned to her and he said, "You know, I loved it. I found it to be fantastic." But neither of us turned to the worker there and said, "I really enjoyed my perspective of this event." When really, if you would have drilled us and you would have seen, we actually were seeing two entirely different things. I was captivated by the scenery and he was captivated by the process. But we saw two entirely different things. But we looked at the same thing. How did that happen? That's everything. You know, a cute story is my daughter was on my lap. She was young. She may have been a year and a half. And I just wanted her to be overwhelmed by the scenery. So at one point I picked her up and I put her by the window so she would be able to see what was going on. And as she looked at the window, she pointed and she went, "Ah, ah, ah, ah." And I was so excited. I turned to my wife and I said, "Wow, look. Look at how she's appreciating. This is fantastic." And she pointed, "Ah, ah, ah." And she was actually pointing to the bolt that was riveted on the window. The little shiny bolt had taken her attention away. She was looking at something completely different. She had her own perspective. As exciting as mine, absolutely for her. Was one right? Was one wrong? How can we say that? All it is perspective. Now, every single time we have some sort of an issue, even though your spouse may look like a louse, they may look like they are completely wrong, almost nobody goes into a situation and says, "Ah, I'm going to do something wrong. I'm going to do something evil." Everybody's got a perspective. Everybody has their story. Everybody has a legitimate point of view. And we have to understand that we need to be able to access their point of view, to see their story. We have to become story connoisseurs, to get really interested in the other person's story. And once we get interested in their story, then we have to turn it around now and look at it and see our story. first thing we need to do is see their story, and then we'll see our story. We're going to do workshop number 2. Please take out your pad and your piece of paper, which has the workshop number 1 of the 3 main areas of conflict that you're working on, and define whether they're perpetual solvable conflicts. And now we're going to go on with the bulk of the workshop. So please put it on pause, go get your pen, and when you're ready, turn it back on. I'll wait for you. Go ahead. Okay, you got your workbook? Excellent. Now, you have in front of your list of your 3 main conflicts that you're having in your marriage? Beautiful. Now, what I would like you to do is take each one of these conflicts, and I want you to write down by each one of the conflicts your spouse's story, or rather their perspective on each of their issues. Get into their head. Try to figure out their story about this conflict. So if the conflict's about money, every time you fight about money, say your husband makes a lot of money, but he only puts you on a very tight budget, stop for a second. Figure out his story. Write it down. Why do you think he acts that way? Why do you think she acts that way when she's embarrasses you in front of your parents and she goes after your mother-in-law, her mother-in-law? Why do you think she does that? What's the issue? What is she feeling? What's her story? Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to do that for each one of the 3 main conflicts. When you're finished with that, come back. Okay, put on pause and get going. All right, you're back? Excellent. So now you did that. Now what I would like you to do is I'd like you to do the same thing for yourself. Do the same for your own story. In those 3 conflicts, tell your story. How come you act that way? What is it about you that makes you think that you're right? What is it makes you think that your perspective? What is that perspective? Define that perspective. Write it down. Go ahead. Put on pause. Get it done. Okay, excellent. So now what do we have so far? You have your 3 main conflicts. You've defined whether they are perpetual or solvable. You've written down your spouse's story for each one of these conflicts, their perspective. You've done the same for yourself. Now you have your perspective and your spouse's perspective. Now it's very important that when you do the next step, you do it where you have a chance to talk about it. Not just show it, but you're going to talk about it. How does it make you feel in the next step? What I want you to do is I want you to show each other what you've written. Show each other. And talk about whether or not you got their perspective right. And show them your perspective. And talk about whether or not they got your perspective right. Go ahead. Put on pause and have this conversation with your spouse on these 3 areas of conflict. Go ahead. All right. Did you do that? Great. How did it make you feel? How does it feel to finally start seeing your spouse's perspective? Wow, you know, I never really thought about that. That's different than what I thought. Now, when you see those differences, number 6 is I want you to make changes so that you have the story correct. Write down the story, their story, based on what you thought it was, Ben, the changes that they made. They said, no, you got it wrong because of this and because of that. Make sure you now record their correct story in these 3 main areas of conflict. Okay, go ahead. Do that, please. Put it on pause. And when we come back, we'll move on to the next step. Why is it so important to resolve your conflicts in a marriage? Why is it so important? Maybe it's better when you have these conflicts not to deal with them. Like, why is it so important? What makes it so important? You see, you got to understand is that if you see a couple that are not having conflict, it's either one of 2 things. It's either they've worked on themselves as individuals to such a high degree that nothing bothers them, so they have no conflict because they are so refined, their character is so refined that they have no conflict anywhere in their life. That's possible. But most likely what it is that they're avoiding their conflict. They're avoiding it. You know, I was once took an afternoon off and I went to play golf. And they put me together with a gentleman. And he was a nice looking man in his 50s, well dressed, nice clubs. And we said, hello, and hello, how are you? Great, nice to see you. What are you doing up here? He says he has a cottage. He spends his summer up there. And he plays golf a few times a week. Hey, very nice. He said, what do you do? He said he's retired. He asked me, what do? I said, well, you know, I teach people how to have extraordinary marriages. And he was like, great, that's fantastic. And for 18 holes, I heard about his marriage. That's what I heard about. Some day off, huh? Well, you know, about into the fourth hole or fifth hole, he starts telling me. He says, you want to know something? You'll be very proud of me. I said, really? Tell me about it. He said, yeah. He said, you know, we've been married about 20 years, and about 5 years ago, my wife and I realized that we were just bickering and fighting, constantly fighting and constantly bickering. And he said, you want to know something? We just decided it was enough. You see, we are very, very different people. She's this person who likes to sit in the house. She'll pull a blanket up over her knees and have a book and read a book, and there she's in heaven. And me, I'm an extrovert, and I like friends and social and being out on the boat and barbecues and parties. And it really caused a lot of conflict in our marriage. And we used to fight, and we used to bicker a lot. And about 5 years ago, we decided it's enough. We're not going to do this anymore. She'll live her life, and I'll live my life. And now we get along fine. What do you think? And I turned to her and I said, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I think it's a bit of a tragedy. You've given up. You've given up. Marriage is not about giving up and running away from your conflicts. Marriage is about embracing your conflicts, understanding that the conflicts are there as a tool, as an opportunity to connect. When you made a commitment to be married, that lifetime your commitment meant there's no back door. You're not going anywhere. And how in the world can you settle for mediocrity? Do you want to settle for a mediocre marriage? Don't you understand that just over this hurdle lies this incredible closeness, this unbelievable connection, this amazing intimacy, this true passion? Just over this hurdle. You made a commitment that you're going to, for the rest of your life, be together. Don't settle for mediocrity. You settle for that in the rest of your life. It is such a gift to have this opportunity to connect. And yeah, when you have a relationship that's built on passion, and the passion for the good, there's also the flip side, which passion creates friction. And friction creates tension. And tension creates issues. And issues create fear and loathing and pain. But you want to know something? Don't be the kind of person who runs away from issues. Confront your issues. Because on the other side of that issue is your connection, is your closeness, is the intimacy that you crave. And if we just learn to step into our issues, not run away from them, even if they hurt, then our marriage and our relationship is going to take a quantum leap in terms of the amount and the intensity of intimacy. We must learn how to deal with our issues. Now, it feels like an extremely daunting task, doesn't it? Deal with my issues? I mean, whoa, you want to know what kind of issues we're dealing with here? They're huge! Yeah, but you're very lucky, as we all are. Because dealing with the issues doesn't mean solving the issue. It means dealing with the issue. Dr. Howard Markman, he's a PhD at the University of Denver. He's the director of the Marriage and Family Studies. He said something very, very interesting in his studies. He said that little changes in you can lead to huge changes in the relationship. All you have to do is make small, small gestures, small, small changes. No one's looking for you to solve everything. No one's looking for you to solve everything. What we need, just commitment to take a small step forward into the conflict. Say, I acknowledge that this is the conflict. I acknowledge that you have a side, that you have a story, and it's a legitimate perspective. I acknowledge that I have a side, I have a story, and I have a legitimate perspective. Both of us do. Now, I am committed to making a small change to resolve this conflict. Small. And doing that takes huge strides in the relationship. Brings you so much closer together. So much closer together. And the bigger the conflict, the smaller the step, the larger the impact. You hear what I said? The bigger the conflict, the smaller the step, the larger the impact. You don't have to solve the whole thing. Now, I want you to take out your workbook And we're going to go through on workshop number 3, which is I want you to have the 3 areas of conflict that you've already defined. You define whether they're perpetual or solvable conflicts. You know your spouse's story. You've got that clear even after talking to them about it. You know your own story. Everything's written out in front of you. Now what I want you to do is I want you to write down one action that you can do to alleviate each of these 3 conflicts. One small step that you can take to help alleviate these 3. Small. Make it small. And then when you finish that, I want you to write down one small step that your spouse can do to alleviate this conflict. Both of you are going to do one small step. One for me, for each of these 3. One for 1, 1 for 2, 1 for 3. And then what my spouse can do. 1, 2, and 3. Okay, go ahead. Pause the program. And when you're finished, come back and I'll give you the next step. Excellent job. Excellent job. Now, I'd like you to take these 3 action steps for yourself and these 3 action steps for your spouse. And I want you to show each other and discuss them. This is what I think I can do to alleviate the first problem. And this is what I thought you could do, a small action step you could do. And then what I would like you to do is once you've discussed them, each of you has to make a commitment to do one action step for each of these 3 areas of conflict. Now you can pick yours, or you can pick your spouse's, or maybe in through the discussion you'll think of a 3rd option. But do not walk away without writing down in your workbook right here a commitment for one small action, both of you. One small action that you can do to start resolving each of these conflict areas. Okay, go ahead, put on pause, and get this done. I want to discuss with you for a couple of minutes about one of the main areas of conflict that people don't really understand is a foundation of conflict. And that is really understanding the difference between men and women and the way they approach marriage and especially the way they approach conflict. See, a lot of the times conflict in a marriage is because the husband is dealing with the wife the way he wishes he was dealt with. And the wife's dealing with the husband the way she wishes she was dealt with. But really, so much of the time, the way a woman wants to deal with her conflict and the way a man wants to deal with conflict is very, very different. I would like to share with you a little excerpt from my seminar, How to Make a Good Marriage Great, which you can actually download on this site, the full seminar. And there we talk about how to deal with issues in a relationship. Conflict. How to deal with conflict. One of the areas that we speak about is the way men and women differ in the way they deal with issues. Now, most of the time, it's not all the time, not with all conflict, but as a general rule, women use conflict because conflict is a tremendous tool for connection. And a lot of times, women, when they have an issue that they want to deal with, talking through the issue solves a lot of the conflict. Because the issue itself was just a tool for connection. And women who are very sophisticated naturally in dealing with their emotions, when they get a heightened emotion, that's a wonderful opportunity to connect. It's a wonderful opportunity to use that heightened emotion to connect to the other person by working through it, by diving into the emotion. So they'll bring up issues. Let's talk about it. Let's deal with it. So what'll happen is a guy will come home, let's say, or into the room, and he'll see his wife is extremely agitated. And she'll say something like, "Oh, I feel so bad." And he'll go, "What's the matter?" And she'll say, "You can't believe what happened to me." He goes, "What is it?" "Well, you can't believe what happened to me today at work. So-and-so embarrassed me in front of my client, and I couldn't believe the boss was there. I feel so terrible." Now, every man has 2 basic tendencies at this point. Number one, we know, of course, is solve the issue. So he'll say to her, "You know what? I know Joe, your boss. I'm going to give him a call. Nobody talks to my woman like that and gets away with it," and gets up to go to the phone. And she says, "Wait, come back." You just don't get it. You just don't get it. The second tendency a man has is to discount it. He'll say something like, "Well, you wanted to go in the business world. It's dog eat dog out there. You got to have this stuff like water off a dog's back. Just let it roll off of you. Don't. And either way, he's not dealing with her the way she needs to be dealt with when there is a conflict. Because a woman, most of the time, when there's a conflict, just needs to be heard. So in the seminar, I talk about how men need to know that they need to know they have to learn how to love communicating with their spouse when there's an issue. L-O-V-E. Listen. Listen to her. Really listen. Use the active listening skills that we learn in the communication section. Use those active listening skills. O, it's a secret. You have to see what O is in the seminar. L-O-V, validate her feelings. And E, empathize. If you listen to her, validate her feelings by saying, I see that what you're going through is a very valid emotion. I would feel the same way. And empathize, which means to try and feel what she's feeling. Most of the time her issues will go away because the issue was an opportunity to connect and she sees that you're using it to connect. And that's how a woman deals with a lot of her issues. It's the process of dealing with the issue solves the issue. Or really, the issue may still be there, but now that she dealt with it, she doesn't care about it anymore because she used it to connect to you. And if there's still an issue that happens that you really need to solve, after she feels connected, then she'll talk about it to solve. But a man deals with his issues entirely differently. A man wants to solve his problems. So when he has an issue, she'll come up and say, you want to talk about it? But the worst thing you could do to a man is to ask him to talk about his problems. Because while he's feeling that the issue, while he's involved in the issue, while he's really feeling it, he's not so comfortable in that world of feelings where everything, it's kind of like going into a pond and stirring up the bottom so the whole thing becomes murky. He can't see in an agitated world of feelings. He can't see where, and here we are asking him to dive into those feelings in that time. And really what a man needs to do is he needs to work through the feelings first in the way that he does, whether it's to go for a run, to do exercise, to go to the basement and kickbox, or to do it in ways, hopefully, that are very constructive, but even destructive ways a man will sometimes resort to, like having a drink or whatever it may be, just to turn the pressure off, to let some of the steam off. And after the steam is off and he can think clearly, then he'll want to solve his problem. Now, if we understand these differences between men and women and how we approach issues, and we understand that we don't necessarily want to approach an issue the same way as our spouse, just having the power of knowing the difference in and of itself can help you solve the problem. Because your spouse can be dealing with it in a certain way. And you're looking at them going, why are they doing that? But now we understand they're doing that because they're a man. Or they're doing that because they're a woman. And just seeing that and smiling and saying, okay, well, you're a woman. That's it. I understand. And then saying, okay, now let's deal with the conflict the way we need to, where I can understand your perspective and you can understand my perspective. Doing it like that, we take out the difference between men and women as being a barrier towards working through our conflicts, and rather understanding the difference as an opportunity to work through the conflict to get to the other side. The last thing I want to speak to you about in terms of conflict resolution is it's very important for a couple to have ground rules about how they're going to fight, how they're going to have arguments. I want to quote Dr. Harold Markman, the University of Denver, and I'm going to quote exactly what he said. He says, unfortunately, partners enter into relationships with no agreed upon rules or skills for handling the strong negative feelings that are an inevitable part of all relationships. Without rules, in the face of conflict, partners often resort to forms of guerrilla warfare with random sniping that can seriously wound their mates. Instead of taking control of a conflict, partners let conflict take control of them. Instead of taking control of your conflict, partners often let conflict take control of them. What we're going to do right now is we're going to create a set of conflict ground rules that you actually, as a workshop, you're going to do it with your spouse together. And I'm going to give you a few suggested rules, certain ground rules, as a guideline. And then I'd like you to write these down and then discuss them. And at the end, you're going to come up with your own list of ground rules. And you should write them down. These are the rules of engagement that we have in our relationship, that we have in our marriage. Now, I'll give you some examples. You maybe want to write these down. Maybe not. But it'll give you a basis for which you will create your own set of ground rules. See, if you don't have ground rules, as Dr. Markman says, if you don't have ground rules, you're just going to be taking pot shots at each other. And you're going to be really hurting each other a lot. But if you have your agreed upon boundaries by which you will argue and you will fight and you will have your conflict within those, then it becomes a safe place to go to have your conflict, because you know that you won't get really hurt beyond what it is that a general conflict would be. No one's going to go after the other person's jugular. You've set your rules. And we know that the idea of a conflict is to get closer together, not to hurt the person. So that's what we're going to do right now, some suggested rules. So number one, you should make a commitment to each other that you're going to work it out. Sounds simple, right? Well, what's the point of the conflict? The point of the conflict is to connect and to work out the issue. So not to take pot shots at each other. So you go into the conflict with the commitment of saying, we are going to work it out. This conflict, however difficult it is, we are going to work it out. You start each conflict by saying, you know, I realize that I'm at least half responsible for this conflict. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait to understand how you feel, to understand how you feel, and together we're going to work it out where both of us take our measure of responsibility. That's number two. Both of you claim equal responsibility at the beginning of the argument. Because remember what we learned, it's all about feelings, not about reality. And both of you have a story, and both of you have a perspective which is valid. So from the beginning, both claim equal responsibility. Number three, realize that the small changes make huge differences in the relationship. You don't have to change everything. Only make small changes, small steps. So we're going to make a commitment at the beginning that we're not going to walk away from this session of conflict resolution without either of us making the commitment to do some small action, however small, some small action to resolve the conflict. Number four. I'm going to give you a list from my seminar of how to make a good marriage great. One of the segments there is how to have a good fight. And I'm going to give you a few of the rules of engagement that I give, which I think are very important when having a good fight. Now, for example, I say you should never say the D word. What's the D word? Divorce. Never use the word divorce in an argument. Why not? Because if you use the word divorce, when it comes out of your mouth, all of a sudden it's a possibility, and you've just opened up the back door an inch. And each time you use the D word, divorce, you've opened up the door a little bit. You got to know that the back door is slammed shut. There is no way out of this thing except to work through the issue to get to the other side. So never use the D word. Another one is never fight in public. We will never fight in public. Why not? Because fighting in public creates so much additional tension and betrayal and lack of trust. That it adds so much to the conflict, so much to the conflict, that you end up dealing with these peripheral issues rather than the issue itself. Never fight in public. That's one thing. The second reason is because it's nobody's business. Why air your dirty laundry in public? I don't want to be around that when somebody's fighting. So for your marriage it's good, but also it's good for other people. Don't fight in public. The fourth thing is never use never or always or ever. Don't use grandiose, all-sweeping statements. Never, never, always, always. Because once you do that, you lose credibility, because nothing is never, nothing is always. It's always sometimes. Always it's sometimes. So when you say, you never do this, or you always act like that, the person's immediately going to shut down. Ah, they're just ranting, it's not real. So to try not to use the sweeping, general, global statements of never and always. And the last one that I'm going to give you is that never take pot shots. Never take pot shots. Even if you're upset or you're angry, never take pot shots. Don't go in there and say, you're such a lazy bum, or you're so irresponsible, or you're so disorganized. Don't take pot shots. Because when you take pot shots, what it does is it creates this sense in the person that it's personal. And when it becomes personal, the guard goes up, and a person doesn't want to deal with you. Try not to take pot shots. When you start doing some of these rules, what I call rules of engagement, you start creating the safe place for you to deal with your issues, then dealing with your issues, however uncomfortable, still become the place where you can be very, very connected. You work through it. You jump over that hurdle, because on the other side of that hurdle lies your closeness. Now, the last workshop is I want you to create your own conflict ground rules, your personal rules of engagement. I gave you a whole bunch. If you didn't get them the first time, review this. Go back and review this program. Go pick them out. Choose some of the ones I chose, or don't, and come up with your own. By the end of this program, I want you to have your own set of ground rules. This is the parameters by which we will have our conflict and have our arguments. Okay, stop the tape, stop the program, and write down and discuss between the two of you your set of ground rules. It's very important so that we don't do, as Dr. Markman says, resort to a form of guerrilla warfare with random sniping. Let's set the ground rules. Okay, go ahead, stop the tape, get it done. Okay, you're back? Excellent. Let's just do a quick review of what we did. We defined three main areas of conflict that you're having in your marriage. We defined whether they were perpetual or solvable conflict. Perpetual conflicts mean that these are things that are going on over and over and over again that have to do with the essential value of who you are. And in these kind of conflicts, you just got to know that you're not going to solve them overnight. And it doesn't matter. All you're going to do is small steps towards creating some sort of a resolution. You may not solve them overnight. Or you may have a solvable problem that is really solvable. Get it done. Solve that conflict. The second thing we did is we understood that each spouse has a story or a perspective. And each one's valid. And just like your spouse has a story or a perspective, so do you. And we defined in these three conflicts whose story, the spouse's story, and your story, and we understood each other's story. Then what we did is we made a commitment that we're going to do one action, one small action, to alleviate these three conflicts. One for me and one for my spouse for each of the three. And we showed our spouse and we worked it and we have an action step how to take care of these three things. Then the last thing we did is we created our conflict ground rules or the rules of engagement. Now that we're going to be dealing with these conflicts and we have action steps on how to solve these conflicts and we understand our spouse's story or perspective dealing with these conflicts, now we have the ground rules by which we can deal with our conflicts. I want to thank you so much for the privilege of being able to work with you, to learn with you, and to guide you, and to coach you through conflict resolution in marriage. And I want you to know with all my heart how proud I am of you, that you're taking the steps necessary, because we understand, and we all understand, that when we put our marriage first, and we jump over the hurdles in the marriage, we know that our closeness, and our connection, and our intimacy lies over the next hurdle. So please, work hard, do your work, and good luck. God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this free MP3. Please be sure to tell your friends about happywife.com.